And so here we are, World Wildlife, through BBS Radio Online. This is another beautiful Wednesday call. It is 5 minutes before the hour, and we will wait. Been free to show up. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else joining in.
Well, I'm an advocate for massage because I know it works. I had broken my left foot off my leg back in 83. And my boss, who I was working at a laboratory at the time, but she was studying to be a masseuse, and she was graduating just as I did it. And she more or less got my leg back for me. You know?
Amazing.
That's a good thing. Welcome to the next. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Marilyn.
Thank you for being here.
Marilyn.
Please say your name and location. We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. That's Raiden from Aurora Seco, New Mexico.
Raiden, we welcome you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here.
How are you doing, my friend?
Are any of you Reiki masters?
But forget about the Reiki.
No?
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry and Alice.
Hey, Terry. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I thought that was pronounced Reiki.
Okay, Reiki.
I'm a Reiki level 2. In the next couple months, I'm going to become a Reiki master.
All right.
Yeah.
For Pranic, a good book for Pranic, you can go to PranicHealing.com, or there's a book called Your Hands Can Heal You.
Oh, yeah.
That would give you much more information about Pranic. It's similar to Reiki, but it's got more structure and more studies and more documented material behind it.
It's more like Qigong than it.
All right. We had a few more people join in now. Welcome you all. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Gilbert in Central Florida.
Oregon.
We welcome you, Gilbert. Welcome.
Thank you.
And then I heard a lady from Oregon. Who's that?
No, this is Had in Portland, Oregon.
Heidi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right.
You have a...
Tell me, is it pronounced Reiki or Reiki?
Reiki.
Actually, Reiki. I heard
Reiki.
It was Reiki.
Reiki.
Oh, Reiki. Yeah, Reiki, right.
It must be Reiki, but some people say it, you know, different, dependent.
Tomato, tomato.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's energy.
Yeah, I'm supposed to get my master's this month.
And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
I was down in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss, everybody.
Mr. Hammond, welcome to the call.
Gracias.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
That's why I was asking if anybody else was doing any of that or anything, because I do, and I'm supposed to get my master's this month. So.
Oh, that's great.
That's wonderful.
Congratulations.
I'm working on it. It's a daily, daily, daily thing.
Definitely.
I agree.
I used to do a lot of Qigong, too.
Yeah, you'll find similarities with the Pranic and the Qigong. I find that a lot of the Pranic masters have previously been Reiki masters.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where, like, everybody accepts Reiki, but they don't know nothing about Qigong, right? And so that's why I thought, well... Because of the demographics I live in and everything, well, doing the Reiki stuff. But I was doing Qigong also.
If you like
Qigong.
Reiki, you'll like Pranic.
All right. We had three more callers come in.
Bob from Chico. Hey, guys.
Welcome back. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing excellent, all things considered. Please give me a call when you have the opportunity.
I will. Thank you so much. More people joining in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Roger, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Say name and location.
Hello, hello, Sedona Jim. Hello, Heights.
Sedona Jim, welcome to the call, my friend.
Well, thank you, my friend from Chico.
All right.
Good to hear your voice.
Hello. A bunch of people are joining in. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don.
This is Ron.
I did pick up Ron from Mountain Grove. Thank you for being
Ron
here, Ron.
From Mountain Grove. Yep.
Right.
Delamondo.
Yeah. Well, then, please.
Delamondo.
Do I
think...
Chris from Memphis.
Brother Chris from Memphis. Welcome to the call, Chris.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Delamondo. Not in there.
Not in there.
Hi, how you doing?
Delamondo, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Yep. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to hear yours.
Hello, Donna. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I heard you there. Oh, I'm hanging in there.
That's good, hon. That's good.
All right. And it is 6:01. Even if you are having the steering wheel in the hands, like Erwin Free, and you're a minute late, you're forgiven.
Well, is Terry here?
Yes, he is. Hi, Win. Welcome to the call. Terry, are you here? Literally. Give it a minute, okay?
Jeez. You don't
What's
think
up, Brother Free?
Hey,
Chris.
Hi. Shall I go see what's up with her?
Yes, her line is active, but she's...
I think I heard her.
I was muted.
She was muted.
Yeah.
I think Teddy, she's there.
Teddy Brown.
I'm here. Yeah, hi.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
All right.
Terry,
hello.
We can stop and Ariel.
Okay, I'm here. Is it still on?
You're
on the call.
Hey, you guys.
Robin, did you phone her in?
All right.
Did you phone her in? Did you phone her in?
I did.
Okay, so you know now she has a good phone.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's good. Well, okay.
We just got it.
You're not needed anymore, Robin. At least.
Oh, don't say that. That's ridiculous. Don't make her feel badly.
I didn't make her feel badly.
We don't
want
to make her feel bad.
It all depends on whose mouth it's coming from.
Well, let's do positive affirmations at this point.
Well.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. You didn't even get Robin a chance to say her feelings about it.
Well, let Robin say her feelings.
All right. What do you think, Robin?
I think we're always growing into more and more, so at least we've got the next thing to do.
Okay. And is John here? John Subaraski?
Negative.
We gotta find the State of the World report from John.
I am thrilled to be on this call.
And Jim Weeds, are you here, Jim?
I'm right here, Wim.
Jim, I just want to ask you, do you have any good quotes for us today?
I beg your pardon, I didn't hear you.
I said, do you have any good quotes for us today?
No. You told me entre nous that I should speak for myself and not quotes and poems. So if I have to speak for myself, I have nothing to say.
But that's what I was afraid of. So then I was going to say you should have some quotes. Just as a backup.
I have a quote that I got a new quote for today.
Yeah.
It says, don't make excuses for nasty people. You can't put a flower into an asshole and call it a vase.
Oh, wow. I like the asshole part.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the flower.
I only got
it.
Then you'd like me, Jim.
Quite the long stem on that one, eh?
I have one for you about motivation. If you wish to climb, grab the branches and not the blossoms.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. I knew you would come up with something.
Well, I'll shut up now.
Thank you, Jim.
I've been in a bad mood today, so that's my one for today.
You know, the one I've been thinking about all day is, I believe you did bring it up when we're how a small group of people can make a worldwide difference. I've been thinking about that all day.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way it's ever done.
Hello?
Well, I'll tell you guys something that I think this is true. I think
can't start recording, man.
Whenever I start the recording.
How wise are your words going to be? That's my question.
This conference is being recorded.
This is March 11th, 2015. Everybody everywhere. it's like we can't stop Monday's call, can we? It's going on. I got so many emails from people who are listening on the internet, who are listening on Monday, telling us how it cracked them up and how much they enjoyed it, da 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 da. And but you see, guys, I was going to say something profound, and I can't remember what it was. See what happens when I start recording? What was I going to say? It was good, too.
A small group of people changing the world.
Yeah, what's the people changing?
Small group, the Margaret Mead quote. Small group of people changing the world.
Didn't Jesus have a beautiful quote on that?
I know what I was going to say. I don't know if you guys realize this, but, you know, like, this call is constantly in a state of shift. I mean, you never know what's going to happen next. And I think Hives has been watching this. And I would say 2 or 3 years ago, we did some calls, and they were so amazingly profound that at the end of the call, everybody's jaw was dropping. And I'm thinking, how am I ever going to top this? Right? Remember those calls, Hives?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, of course, now what's happening is we as a group, many of you on this call, and I'm sure many of you on the Internet, even though I don't know who you are, some of you, until I hear from you.
I'm going to mute the lines, okay?
Yeah.
All callers are muted.
Have come up with, I thought Monday's call was a milestone because, you know, we've been doing occasional open mic nights, you know, for a couple of years. And usually people are very, very shy and self-conscious, but then they say something from their hearts and they say how the calls are impacting them. And Monday's call was different. I mean, I'm going to open the mics, because let me just let people talk.
All callers are unmuted.
And did you guys notice a shift in Monday's call, something new happening?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was good.
Is there somebody on the line today that wasn't on Monday?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was.
Go back and listen to the Monday call. It's in the archives in the spiritchannel.net, okay? If I was going to verbalize what was happening, everybody was talking, and it was not like an open mic so much as it was a discussion group. And everyone was really themselves, and you guys were not self-conscious of the fact that you were on the air. You were totally coming from your own centers, by and large, and we just made pretend nobody was listening. Of course everybody's listening. I mean, when I'm talking right now, I'm talking, I know everybody's listening. And, you know, there could be hundreds of people listening. There could be millions of people listening. And yet, we're just talking as if nobody's listening. But in fact, nobody is listening. And why is nobody listening? Because there's only one of us. And so it's just one of us listening to one of us. And we're all talking to the oneness. That makes sense? That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the comment I was going to make is that, of course, I've had this feeling that what we're doing is quite important and that it's like, it doesn't usually, it's not a normal thing to happen in this realm. It's not normal for a bunch of people to come together, to having kind of casual conversations with a source that created the universe. I mean, you realize how ridiculous that is? I mean, it's not ridiculous because we do it all the time. But, you know, in normal reality, try telling that to somebody and they'll call, you know, and you're ready for the funny farm. And yet, we're doing it, and lots of people are listening, and you don't have to believe that we're creating, we're talking to that source. In fact, you know, when you focus on how big that is, it's intimidating, and yet here we come to these calls three times a week, and we have this energy on the call, and that we get such wise answers, and many of you that have asked questions have been blown away by how they tuned into you, and you knew they were paying attention to you and the wisdom of their answers. And so, you know, for me, this, I think one of the greatest senses of satisfaction for me and for Terry is that this has come to the place where I can't stop it. For a long time, it said, geez, if I don't do this, it'll stop. It'll end. You know, what's going to happen? This is important. You know, it's just going to stop. And suddenly, it has a bunch of you who are one with it. And, I mean, maybe it'll stop. Who knows? Maybe it'll stop. But I don't think it'll stop because you guys will make it continue. And it's like, I think it's far more important than my mortality or Terry's immortality. And it's like a seed that's being planted in 3D. And the seed is planted and it's watering and it's becoming a sprout. And it's becoming strong. And do you guys ever think of it? Did that ever occur to you, what I just said?
When you forgot to start the recording.
No, we're recording. Is that Dharmananda?
Yeah, I didn't hear you say it. You're recording.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay.
Thank you for reminding me. What, am I sounding profound, Dharmananda?
Yeah, you sound great.
I was going to say that, and I said, wait, we better start the recording. So, I mean, don't you think that's an awesome thing to build your own self-worth and your own, what would we say, your own worthiness? That you're part, you really are part of this. You are part of it. I'm not doing it. We're doing it. You're part of it, and that we're planting a seed in 3D. It's growing, and it's got its own momentum to it, and it's not dependent on just me or just Terry or just you, and we're all part of a group planting that seed. And if you could tune in to how we're doing it, it's also, if you recall how the Elohim created the universe, they created the universe, or the beginnings of it, as a group energy, working together. And you see, the group energy needs to plant a seed this big. Does that make sense? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Maybe to, yeah. I mean, you can say when you're full of it, you know? It's okay.
It's just taking a long time, though.
Well, it does
that's what's happening
time.
In this dimension. Everything takes a lot of time, also when you have, you know?
I mean,
can't the dimensions speed up a little bit?
Well, you know, that's happening. I believe that is happening. Things are getting quicker and simpler. But still.
But you go to the fourth dimension.
It is still slow motion.
But you know, it's like when you look at all the time, we're only a bunch of little guys here, okay? I mean, we're just little humans. I'm a little human, and yet we're doing this. And you know what? How long has this dimension been doing what it's doing? Tens, hundreds of thousands of years, perhaps. And how long have certain patterns been prevalent? Long time. How long, you know, and yet, you know, I was having a really great conversation with Trina this morning, you know, the lady who came on a Sunday, and, you know, I'm getting to know her, and she is, she lives in a trailer, she has two kids, and she's looking at looking at doing house concerts in people's homes, and she also does kind of counseling with people, and she experiences having a team, right? She said she had a team. I mean, like, she works with angelic forces on the other side. And so when she came into the call last Sunday, she said, is it okay if my team is there? And I said, let's wait a while and let everything evolve. Because I didn't know who her team was. And it felt good, but I didn't want to take any chances because we've kept the energy. So, how can I say it? We're not a free-for-all. There's not that many people that can get through the cracks here. You know, there's a lot of people that are doing lots of stuff. And, I mean, they all want to talk about what they're doing, but they're not on the same frequency we are. And once you let something in, it's hard to get it out, okay? There's a saying that goes, it's easier to stay out of something than get out of it, okay? So when she said, is it okay if my team shows up on Sunday, I gave her a no, and then I kept thinking about it, and I said, no, it's okay. I kept feeling it. I can feel her energy. You know, I have my own little litmus test, and some of you can probably apply this, because I can tell when you start co-creating with another person at a high level, you can send them the light, and you can feel it immediately come back. And when it's a lower level relationship, and you try to do that, it feels like a thud. You know, nothing comes back. And you can try it. Usually, if you sit there and you think about Terry, or you think about me, and you send us the light, or if I think about Hive, there's a really, really good reflection back that I can feel, and it feels good. And so I was feeling that with Trina. And so you know, she said, my team doesn't have to say anything. They don't have to talk. They just want to be there and support the work. And I kept feeling it. I said, it's just pure intention. I can feel the purity of it. So I said, okay. And then I started to realize this whole idea of having a team. You know, you guys may not realize it. You may not realize it, but you all have a team. Just by coming into these calls, you can try working with that concept and you say, okay, team, you want to come with me? Help me with this situation and, you know, see if you get any kind of confirmation that that's working for you. Just do it as a test. You don't have to believe it. You know, I'm not like Terry. I don't see things like Terry sees them, but I have really good intuitions and I feel them. And I don't even know how to explain it because I can shut my eyes and see light patterns and I can see energy patterns, but it has nothing to do with the physical world. But it's just different than Terry. Because Terry seems to be able to almost see it like another part of the universe, the world, something physical. But I don't. Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Am I right? Am I saying this correctly?
I'm not sure what your question is.
Did I wake you up? Now, you know, I occasionally get emails from people that say, why do you give Terry such a hard time? Right? You know what? I mean, if I was doing this in a different way, when the show would be over and no one was listening, I go in and say, Terry, why can't you get this right? Be professional. We got lots of people listening to you. Unmute your phone. It's only been years now. So, you know, some people, and I probably have said, gone in and said that to her a long time ago. And then some people say you're making fun of Terry. I am not making fun of Terry. I'm really not. I am including her distortions as part of the flow, just like I have to include my distortions as part of the flow, just as I have to include your distortions as part of the flow, because it's okay to have distortions. And part of the work we're doing here is not trying to look so professional that nothing is wrong with us, that every hair is in place. That's the job for the reptilians in the entertainment industry, okay? Our job is to create...
Jeez, that's tough, man.
Our job is to create an environment where we can be perfectly imperfect, okay?
And Vin, we're going to go to the questions.
Yeah. See, I listen with a different... I mean, when I'm channeling, I use a whole different part of my brain. And so when you bring me back in to answer a question...
All right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
Quickly, what was your question?
I forget already, okay? That's my problem, okay? Go back into your mode. Go back into the mode. We're going to get started. And is Ariel there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Now, Ariel, you know, she just got a phone line. And Ariel is about to start a business, which I've been encouraging her to, of selling sage. And so she and Robin went and got together with Ariel. And they went out and picked sage, and now Ariel has three garbage bags of sage. Is that right, Ariel?
It doesn't. It's down to about like a bag and a half, because some of it's in Tammy's house, and some of it's Jen's house, and some of it's here, and some of it's surplus.
The next time her rent is due, which is in about a week, I'm going to put her sage out for people to buy instead of just doing a fundraiser. And then my friend Ed, who also has an email list, is going to put her sage on our list. So I'm just giving a pre-promotion on that. And Ariel, are you blessing the sage?
I'm blessing the sage. I'm using the violet flame also.
Are you sure that's a good card?
Ed does a great meditation, and I did the sage to his meditation.
All right. Okay, now I'm going to mute everybody, and we're going to ask questions for tonight, okay? And
all callers are muted.
And just letting you know that we really appreciate you, and that the affinity that we're creating with each other is profound. You know, the way that you can tell that the Christed energy is present, and this is profound, what I'm going to say. I know this is true, and I even think Jesus said this in his own way, but I know it's true for my own levels. The way you can tell the Christed energy is present is by the way you're inspired to love each other, okay? Not to love me, not to love Terry. I mean, you can include us in that. But when it's at a lower level, and it's not the Christed energy, and it doesn't mean that that's bad. It's just, you have to know the difference, because there's a very subtle difference. And when things come to you, and you're trying to evaluate, is this for me or is this not for me? I think the presence of the Christed energy or the law of one energy is as good a reference point as any. And that is, if you see a teaching, if you see a community, you look at, are people truly loving each other? Are they competing with each other? Are they vying for the guru's attention, you know, which happens? You know, he likes me better than he likes you. Is he encouraging that, the person who's the center point for putting it all together? Then they're working out lower-level stuff. If they're working out, if it's the Christed energy, people will love each other. And on that note, let's go for our questions tonight. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources present?
This is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. We are mindful of the invocation, and we are here with each and every one of you and extend our energies to those who wish to be touched. we take a moment, and we are here with you. We don't come over the telephone line or over the radio. We come directly to you. Do you have questions?
Yeah, this is from Bonnie in Corona. I would like to hear more about accessing the Akashic Library. And for those of you who are not familiar with the term, the Akashic Library, or the Akashic Records, is like an energy field that's connected to planet Earth that keeps track of every single bit of energy that ever occurred on Earth. So, at least that's my understanding. So it has your past lifetimes in it. It has everything in it. And that supposedly Edgar Cayce could access the Akashic Records. And what I have learned is there's an energy field storage for every planet, and there's probably a bigger energy field storage for the solar system. But the Akashic Records have the records of our past lives. And so I've been working on remembering my past through dreams and meditating and strengthening my own memory matrix. The last two calls were very powerful. And Monday's call moved me to tears, smiling through tears of joy. Thank you, Bonnie. So to just add a question of clarification from me to Bonnie's question, when somebody does have the ability to access the Akashic Records, is it as if they suddenly have intuitions or cognitions popping into their head from the Akashic Records, or is it more like the experience that they actually leave themselves and they take a book off the shelf and start reading it? Thank you.
Thank you. The energy that is stored in the Akashic Records are where the intelligent energy and information is stored. So it is not so much like taking a book off the shelf and reading it. It is more sensing, gleaning the information from the energy that is stored in the Akashic Records. When you connect, you connect through sensing the energy. The energy in your own past life is also stored in your field and can be uncovered or shown what it is. It is there, and it can become apparent to you directly from the energy stored in your own field. We hope that helps.
If somebody has the ability to access the Akashic Records, can they then go looking and read anyone they want, or is there a protection so that people's privacy and free wills are honored, and they're limited in what they can read?
If someone is taken to the heavenly realm and discovers the library, they are allowed to read everything. If they are up to reading it, usually within the qualifications, or they aren't even qualifications, they're abilities, their ability to read the records indicate that they are able to handle the knowledge. And beyond that, it takes the individual to have integrity that they will not use the information badly. If one is not able to access the energy and use it wisely, they can lose their permission to enter the Akashic record. And often, the individual themselves limits themselves when they are not able to use the information and to operate at the higher level where they can see and use the information wisely.
Who extends the permission and withdraws the permission? Who controls that?
It is a part of the energy and they own in the individual. One aspect of it is the individual's own ability to be open. And when one is open, it is a two-way street. And individuals can see their duplicity if they are very open. So somebody that is of a lower level and duplicitous won't even be able to achieve the vibration to handle the energy in the Akashic record.
So does that mean service to self cannot access the Akashic records?
There are cases where service to self can access the Akashic records. However, they have to be of a nature where they believe that service to self and service to their own being and welfare is necessary, and they bootstrap themselves in, however they come to a limit.
Okay, I won't ask any more questions about that. I could stimulate a whole line of thinking to understand this better.
Yes.
And let's go to the next question. John Siboronsky, and his question is in Las Vegas. His question is, he has a friend who he has helped financially, and she has two children who abandoned her to marry another woman, and John has taken the role of her benefactor and sent her lots of money, and she keeps asking for more and more, and he has no intention of marrying her, and he's at the place in his life where he is unable to pay his bills that are past due, and he's looking for a job. And I have told her all of this information, but she still keeps asking for more help. Unfortunately, I feel sorry for her, and that is why I've helped her so much, and am also in serious financial trouble myself. I would like to know how much further should I keep helping her financially if I have my own financial problems. And I would add, John, even if you didn't have financial problems, you know, there's this thing called enabling where, you know, once you let somebody become dependent on you, then they stay dependent. And then they get mad at you when you tell them, I don't want to help anymore or I can't. So it is a difficult situation because people do have real issues and real problems, and we all want to help people. And yet sometimes it gets worse before, you know, and it doesn't get better. So let's put it in our sources' hands and see what they say. Thank you.
Sometimes a person has to fall before they rise. And sometimes helping an individual way beyond one's means can enable them and prolong their falling. It is a lesson where one needs to learn. You are kind and you are compassionate. And she knows that. And she knows it is hard for you to say no, and that there are even more than her involved here. It is a difficult situation because of that. We say take your choices day by day.
Thank you. Next question. Marilyn in Pittsburgh. She heard somebody named now, I don't usually ask about other people. I don't usually ask our sources to validate or invalidate other people, okay? It's like, that would put me in a dangerous position. Like, don't believe them, believe my sources. And how could anything good come of that, to say that I know and they don't know? That's right. And it also puts you in the position of giving up your power of discernment and telling our sources to tell you what to believe and what not to believe. And the only time to do that is when you're up against the wall and you have to make a really big decision, and maybe you could use some help. But otherwise, out of just curiosity, it's not a positive thing to ask our sources to validate stuff. Now, there is some information I know about your question, and I think I would prefer to answer it. And it has to do actually, I don't know the answer for this. I thought it says your Narius Foundation. I did meet some people at a booth that were representing that foundation, but I didn't draw enough to, I thought it said Urantia. No, it says Uranus. So, Alan, I'm going to skip it, okay? And
we have a question. Do they claim to be reincarnation of Lemurians?
I don't know. I know that what Marilyn said is the guy who co-founded this organization believes he was Jesus in a past life. And could this be true or not, you know? But if you want to say something about it since you're listening, go ahead, okay?
Thank you. One way to use discernment to tell is to sense their vibration. And within that vibration is intellectual information or information concerning the generation of the vibration. And one, when they get really sensitive, can follow that vibration down and see information from the past. So when one gets to be in the field of an individual or senses the vibration of that individual and then can track that back, the history of that vibration back, and see what is there to be seen.
Thank you. Tija in Buckinghamshire, England, and she was at a wake at the funeral of a family friend, an elderly man called Eric. And it was a very special event for her. And I know there was a lot of praying done before the event. And I also asked Ron Elohim to send love light. And she asks, has Eric reached the other side safely? And was there anything he wanted to say to his family, especially Brian? Would you please let Eric know that his poem was truly beautiful and it has helped everyone feel better about his passing? Lots of love and appreciation to you, Eric, and listeners. See ya.
Thank you. We are reminded of when an individual transitions in general, it means they are able now to operate with their life body. And they are getting experience with negotiating the movements with the light body, the thoughts with the light body. He is in that stage, but he is looking to the light. And the light is beautiful and heartwarming and soul-warming, and it is like coming home. So he is all right, although he is still learning to negotiate the other side. He has beckoning the warmness and the light of home.
Thank you. Terry LaBarber in Dallas. Since the perspective of past, present, and future is so different for us, while we are not in a body, do we ever reincarnate in what was our third density past? Thank you.
Give us a moment. Is the question, do we ever reincarnate into our past?
I think that's what she's asking. In other words, can we reincarnate into our 3D past?
One can endeavor to relive it. However, we take a look at all circumstances and parallel realities. One can move into a bubble of connection with a past time and be in the past time. This is a parallel reality, and that sometimes happens when one needs to re-experience something. It is very rare.
You know, it's when people start thinking about the idea that all time is simultaneous, they start thinking that you could go into the past and you could do something in the past and it would change all the futures. In other words, like Back to the Future, where that was the scene of that movie where Michael Fox went back to the past and was trying to change something in the past that would change all the futures. But I don't think that's possible, because I don't think there is a past. There's a track of the past. We talked about this. There's only the here and now, which means there's no past and there's no future. But we carry the imprint of the past, and the records are there of the past, but we can't change the past to change the future. Nor can you go into the future and really be somewhere new, because if you could go to the future, it would all be destiny. In other words, the future has to be created by the now, and that we are the now. So we are creating the future by our own intentions, by our own group energy, And just as all the other beings of the planet are part of creating the future, and if the future was already created, then we couldn't have free will, because we would have to be committed to the creating now of this future reality, which is already in place. So it can't work that way, at least from the way I see it. Let me turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. This brings up many thoughts. When there is a future that is being created in the present, one, if it starts to bleed through into their consciousness and they start to see scenes from the future, but they do not like it, it is not what they want, they can see what element there is in the present that is fixing something into the future. An example would be someone is picturing a fire, and the fire is in the future, and they're seeing scenes from the fire. And then they say, well, you know what, why is this? I'm a good person, and why would I be seeing this bad stuff? And then they may go and look and see that there are elements within the current environment that if they were left as they are, would lead to fire. So there are signs, there are bleed through that can come in visions to someone. Let's say if everything stays the same as now, that a certain thing is going to happen in the future. We take a look into the past. If someone is wanting to change something that happened in the past, and then it involves, say, someone that they really care for, and someone they have been really mad at over some injustice, if they can resolve that within their own self in the current lifetime, then the elements that were holding it from resolving in the past will disintegrate and resolve. And wherever that person is now, they will feel it. And the barrier between the two people will begin to change, even though it involves something in a past event. We hope that gives a little glimpse.
Thank you. You know, we got 1 minute left. Let me ask, you know, we have Rizia in Toronto.
Hello, Rizia.
But she's got a list of questions here.
We do have an open time after.
We can go a little longer? Okay. Hang on a second here.
If Dawn lets us.
Dawn lets us. Let's see.
All callers are unmuted.
Do you guys want to go a few minutes longer so we can get a couple of these questions in?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. So, somebody apparently asked mentioned that on George Noy the other night. They said they really liked my talk. And that's nice.
Which talk were you speaking of?
On George Noy, last night, maybe, or Monday night. I don't know. Let's not go there, okay? Let's go to Rizia's questions. Let's not lose the focus. Okay, Rizia, I'm going to ask a question about your daughter, okay? I think that's the most important. And, but I'm not sure. I don't like to encourage questions like this. I'll put this through, and this doesn't mean I'm going to put these kind of questions through in the future, because it's a health-related question. And it's like we are not licensed to give health advice. We could be breaking the law to do it. And I don't want to, like, go, I don't know, I ask our sources to figure out if they can share something here without getting us in trouble, okay? Now, I don't believe Rizia is going to get us in trouble. But if we continue to ask health-related questions, sooner or later, we get in trouble. And we jeopardize everything else we're doing. So that is the problem. And, of course, that's why so often when somebody asks a question like this, people, Terry will say, ask Dr. Marshall, who is her favorite doctor in Santa Monica. And that is actually a good way to handle it, because he is a good doctor. He does come up with really good solutions. And it's like we're not doing Edgar Cayce in this life, where we can, even if we wanted to, and even if we could do it, Edgar Cayce could do it because things are not as stringent in the period he was doing readings as they are now. So, okay, with that being said, question from Rita in Toronto. Can you please tell me why my daughter Stephanie has such low blood pressure and shingles? And if there's anything she can do naturally to improve these two conditions?
We ask you some questions. Did she get vaccinated for smallpox? Somewhere in her past, she has picked up the carrier virus that brings shingles on. You might check out the relationship of the symbiosis. It's a substance, lysine, and its relation to the herpes virus. We would say, would do well to build her immune system, stay away from genetically modified foods, and be sure to get enough minerals, and we send you love from the bottom of our energy heart.
And if there is a connection between shingles and herpes, which I kind of recall there is, you might do a search on lysine, common amino acid in your health food store. Do an internet search, lysine shingles, and see if it works for people, okay? Because I know lysine works for herpes. All right. Next question, Dharmananda. Very interesting question. And I want to point out that Dharmananda creates a bunch of some assumptions. And I would like to show you how subtle this can be, because it is very easy to take a definition of something, and it said so much that we think it's accurate, because Dharmananda here does that in his question, and I'll point out to you how he does it. And it's easy, you know, you can see if you do that. Since God is all there is, infinite, eternal, and complete within itself, then why would he, she, it need to create anything at all? Okay, now I want to point out, since God is all there is, infinite, eternal, and complete within itself. Now, how do you know God is complete within itself? how do you, you know, when we have talked about the one infinite creator, at least the way it's been described is that there was a first awareness, and that first awareness got lonely, which means it wasn't complete within itself, and that wanted companionship and learned that it could subdivide itself and give each subdivision free will so that it could operate independently and know that it was still part of the one infinite creator. So, you know, when you say God is complete within itself, that factor, if the one infinite creator is who we think of as God, then that factor would indicate that that's not true, okay? And the creation started, so there could be something going on. You see, if there's nothing going on, if everything is just is, there's no time, and there's no awareness. And to have awareness, there's something has to happen. So there has to be a before and an after. Because if there's no before and after, then there's no awareness, okay?